Today's scripture reading comes from the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 19. You're reading the first 18 verses. 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, how he had killed all Baal's prophets with a sword. Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah with this message: "May the gods do whatever they want to with me, if by this time tomorrow I haven't made your life like the life of one of them." Elijah was terrified. He got up and ran for his life. He arrived at Beersheba in Judah and left his assistant there. He himself went farther into the desert, a day's journey. He finally sat down under a solitary juniper tree. He longed for his own death. "It's more than enough, Lord. Take my life, because I'm no better than my ancestors." He lay down and he slept under the solitary juniper tree. Then suddenly a messenger, an angel, tapped him and said to him, "Get up, eat something." Elijah opened his eyes and saw flatbread baked on glowing coals and a jar of water right by his head. He ate and drank and then went back to sleep. The Lord's angel returned a second time and tapped him. "Get up," the angel said. "Eat something, because you have a difficult road ahead of you." Elijah got up and ate and drank and went refreshed by the food for 40 days and nights until he arrived at Horeb, God's mountain. And there he went into a cave and spent the night. The Lord's word came to him and said, "Why are you here, Elijah?" Elijah replied, "I've been very passionate for the Lord God of heavenly forces because the Israelites have abandoned your covenant. They have torn down your altars and they have murdered your prophets with a sword. I'm the only one left, and now they want to take my life too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. The Lord is passing by." A very strong wind tore through the mountains and broke apart the stones before the Lord. But the Lord wasn't in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord wasn't in the fire. After the fire, there was a sound, thin, quiet. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his coat. He went out and stood at the cave's entrance. A voice came to him and said, "Why are you here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very passionate for the Lord God of heavenly forces because the Israelites have abandoned your covenant. They have torn down your altars and they have murdered your prophets with a sword. I'm the only one left. Now they want to take my life too." The Lord said to him, "Go back through the desert of Damascus and anoint Hazael, king of Aram. Also anoint Jehu, Nimshi's son, as king of Israel, and anoint Elisha from Abel-Meholah, Shaphath's son, to succeed you as prophet. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. Whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. But I have preserved those who remain in Israel, totaling 7,000, all whose knees haven't bowed to Baal and whose mouths haven't kissed him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Mountains. Mountains have long been a geography of pilgrimage, places where people have humbled themselves and been strengthened. They are symbols of the sacred center. Many have traveled to the mountains in order to find consecrated energy of earth and to realize the strength of unimpeded space. With those who have gone before us, let us also head for the mountains. Before setting out on this pilgrimage of our own, we might be well served to get some guidance from one who has been there and knows a little something about both mountains and pilgrimages. He was the epitome of a mountain man, having lived a solitary life in the backwoods, drinking water from mountain streams and living off of the land. His voice thundered as a tone that would intimidate the power of a king's throne. He was a forceful presence that could both raise the dead and call forth fire from heaven, a presence that could not be outnumbered by a host of opponents. Let's let the prophet Elijah be our guide as we head for the mountains. We will meet up with Elijah at Mount Carmel. Where else could we start? Mount Carmel would seem to be the natural place to begin such a pilgrimage. It was the peak that would be featured on all of the travel brochures and documentaries. It is a mountain that still captivates attention far and wide. Elijah himself would have to get fired up as he related the backstory to this morning's scripture reading. Here at Mount Carmel, Elijah was literally at his highest point. This was where he single-handedly challenged 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah to a showdown. With a story as large as his personality, Elijah would tell of how his opponents were unsuccessful in calling for fire from their gods to consume the offerings that they placed on their altars. Elijah's voice would boom as he began to tell how he mocked them with smack talk, how he strutted his stuff as he prepared his offering for his God, soaking the offering, soaking the wood, soaking the altar with bucket after bucket of water, how at his beckoning, fire fell from heaven and burned up the whole wet mess, how in the after party, all the false prophets were destroyed. Anyone heading for the mountains would want to start here, to stand where God's power and force were so demonstrated. It was here that Elijah called down the fire. But if we could rein Elijah's zeal in just a little bit, he would tell us that this is where the expedition begins, not where it ends. Elijah would tell us that no matter how awesome and majestic the mountaintop experience is, there are still other places to go, like it or not. So after a few quick selfies with Elijah at the top of Mount Carmel, the next stop on our expedition is a day's journey away. It's a solitary juniper tree. Elijah, an excellent guide in the mountains, stops here for a story about this very tree. It seems to be a story about despondency and despair. It is a spot Elijah stopped as he was trying to escape the wrath and threat of Queen Jezebel, who had pledged revenge for the lives of the slain prophets. Elijah might become a bit self-conscious as he shares this part of his own story. How he simply gave up. How he prayed to die. But he need not feel ashamed. From time to time, we have all found our own juniper tree. A place where fear and discouragement got the best of us. We just wanted to quit. I've sat under so many juniper trees in my time that I wonder if I have juniper sap flowing in my veins. Elijah insists that as we head for the mountains, we stop at the juniper tree. For when you're in the mountains, you're sure to find not only the lofty peaks, but also juniper trees. Elijah would tell us the juniper trees seem to grow best in the shadow of mountaintops. There, in the shadows of powerful and awesome demonstrations of God's presence, sprouts solitary juniper tree of discouragement. But the story of the juniper tree is not about Elijah's despondency or despair, but rather about the word of God that came to Elijah when he was at that place. Here, beneath the juniper tree, God sent an angel to Elijah to say, "Get up an angel to provide food and strength, an angel to say even when Elijah was ready to give up on God, God wasn't about to give up on Elijah. Elijah wants us to know that God speaks not only on the mountaintops, but also beneath juniper trees. Thanks be to God. The next point of interest on our expedition is a 40 days journey toward Mount Horeb. 40 days. When we finally get to Mount Horeb, we are more than ready to take a view from the peak to hear the story of this mountain. Elijah calls our attention instead to a cave. When we want to look out from the breathtaking perch, Elijah calls us into a hole in the ground. Elijah's story moves from despair to cynicism, just wanting to die to feeling that everything is meaningless. Everything has always been meaningless. I and I alone am left, and I'm done for. There's no hope, no reason to believe that anything will ever change. The only thing to do is to protect yourself from vulnerabilities. Avoid the risk of continuing. Before we climb any higher on Mount Horeb, Elijah is determined that first we stop, we stoop and look into this cave, especially today. In a day when terror, hate, political rhetoric, and oppression loom heavy in the air, it's only natural that we do what Elijah did. Feeling that all righteousness is about to die with us, we just want to crawl into the first hole in the ground we find. We want to isolate ourselves, protect ourselves, forgetting the power of hope and promise that we once knew. Forgetting the mountains to which we were heading. Forgetting even the mountain on which we stand right now. Elijah makes us look into this cave because we need to hear now, like never before, the word of God that continues to echo in the cavernous holes into which we want to crawl. What's a guy like you doing in a place like this? You too are a child of God. You too have known the powerful presence of God. You too have received the provisions of God's grace. You too are better than this. As Jesus called to Lazarus, so God calls to each one of us who are holed up in fear and cynicism. Come out. Stand up and know again the presence of an awesome God. Over all the blasts of the wind that rage, over all that shakes the very earth beneath our feet, over all the hate and fury that burn, the still small voice of God reigns supreme. My presence and love are supreme and steadfast, not just in the places you expect it, not just in ways that you expect it, but even in the silence, God's voice is heard. Unspoken words are spoken everywhere. Elijah retreats from the certainty of Mount Carmel to the mystery of Mount Horeb. After a ministry of power, coercion, and violence on Mount Carmel, Elijah enters into quiet, rest, and a cloud of mystery and intimacy with God on Mount Horeb. The second mountain deconstructs the first mountain, as God appears to Elijah, not in the wind, earthquake, or fire, but in a still, small voice. Now, Elijah says, you are finally ready to enter the mystery. Finally, you are ready to know the presence of God that has always been with you on this mountain, in the cave before that, under the juniper tree before that, and on Mount Carmel before that. Finally, you are ready to hear the voice of God that calls to you and speaks what you need to hear when you need to hear it. Elijah is an excellent guide on our mountain excursion. He not only shows us the sights along the way, he prepares us so that we may find our own way on the trials and trials before us. Elijah tells us in his arduous journey, the servant of God is not alone. The promise of God's ongoing presence keeps ringing in our ears. Remarkable supplies are provided for new energies and encouragement along the way, and he is given a recognition that he is not alone, though it may often seem like it. Others also have this calling and will share the load, even though it seems likely to be a lonely journey, even then. This journey may be accompanied by way too many disappointments and frustrations, and the way at times may be far too rigorous, with too few moments of comfort, but it is a way of remarkable freedom, uncommon joy, and an incredible sense of fulfillment. So what are you waiting for? Your mountain awaits. Oh God, lift us out of fear and despair. Carry us beyond cynicism. Let us hear your still small voice and enter into the mystery that lies before us as your children and as your church. Amen.